technical issue there. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good, man. Ready to get back into the swing things. We have some stuff to talk about after that.
Yeah.
That game we played against Vancouver, but
it is what it is. Welcome to another G30 podcast. I am Count here with Mike. Timmy, MIA again, you know, it's fine. Timmy's a working man. I promise Timmy is still with us. He's a fan favorite. Timmy, when you hear this, I'm sorry you're not here with us. We know you're busy. Everyone's busy. It's a busy time for you young heads, you know? New jobs, new school shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. You know, you're here in spirit, Timmy. We got you, buddy. I'm here to hold it down for you. But you are the fan favorite, though.
Yeah.
You're definitely the fan favorite here. I feel like people are tired of listening to me speak now. It's like, what outrageous shit are you going to say?
Yeah. Vancouver's in the East Coast.
Definitely so. Definitely so. Hey, I want to say, though, last week we kind of put a call out to people to help us get a little bit exposure. You know, this is a huge test, first season shakes and all of that. And I know we say this a lot, but we like to keep those of us who are with us informed into, you know, what's happening and what we're trying and what's going on. And it seems like people shared this last week, and you know, it was good. I think we had a lot of new listeners. Things were good, and it was good. The interaction was good. We love engaging with y'all. Cruising the Streets, the Twitter account, really, I'll get the handle specifically to shout you out. Called us the Mate Boys or the Mate Brothers, Mike.
And you still have
the giant cans of mate chilling there. Have you given any out? What's that been like?
Yeah. So I took a nice little weekend trip out to Palm Springs this weekend, and I had the opportunity to share this with a bunch of my friends who hadn't had exposure to mate or the product. Dude, you get the whole house geeking up off some mate. Oh, dude, everyone was fine. But it was fun. They enjoyed it.
Awesome, man. Well, you know, it's in an unfortunate an unfortunate week for the Galaxy. I think it's a hard one. And before we get to reactions about what happened in this Vancouver game, I guess we should acknowledge what the discussion's been like. There's been a lot of criticism of Cabral if he's going to be a D. I think maybe we're starting to get into that point now where, like, if you are the only DP, you got to step up. We posted on our Instagram a question the other day about, you know, is the Galaxy only Chicharito? We'll come back to that. You know, where is Grancer? Where is Zubac? Where are the young guys? Are we holding it down? Are we suffering because everyone is at the Gold Cup? There are a lot of questions to be asked in what has been a pretty weird week in Galaxy Land, but I'd like to start with a reaction to what Greg Vanney said. He said that we can't expect these young kids to bail us out all the time like players of note might. And he also said that the missing players hurt and that they kind of took their foot off of the gas pedal in what was a dominating first half of Galaxy Soccer in the first half of the Vancouver game. Goal, good looks, and then they kind of just fell apart. What's your reaction to Vanney there, Mike?
I feel like there is some substance to what he had to say. It's like we can't expect these guys to bail us out, but I don't think we were in a position heading into this game where we would have needed to be bailed out by any youngsters. I feel like we took our foot up off the gas, and we played down to a Vancouver team who almost punched us in the mouth in our previous meeting. I mean, I think our inability to get draws or not walk away with a point from that game is now becoming apparent to me. I didn't really see it, but after this result, I think that is a little concerning that we're not able to hold on for another 30 minutes or another 20 minutes in a deadlock game or even push for a winner, but what do I know? I think it's concerning.
Yeah, so the Galaxy record stands now at 8-5. It's not a bad record. We would have taken that again, remember? We would have taken that at the beginning of the year. But it does suck to think about the games we had in hand that essentially we pissed away. Our goal differential is 1. It's not great. And we don't have ties, and we're the only team in the league, I believe, right now. I'm taking a look at the standings. That does not have a tie. And I keep hearing a lot of comparisons to GBS, you know. I think Tucker over at Riot Squadcast had posted something about, like, you know, Greg made subs late. Like, if it was GBS, we would have been shitting all over him, you know. If we're not getting ties, neither did GBS, you know. So I don't think that's a fair comparison per se, but the lack of ties is a little bit concerning. There are only two other teams with one tie, so one better than us, and that is Portland and DC. So I don't think that's a particularly troubling stat at this point. If we were 8-8, I think maybe that would be different.
Yeah.
But yeah, boys can't hold on. Boys can't hold on, and both of these Vancouver games were kind of 2018, 2019, 2020 Galaxy, like, take your foot off the gas and then you get smacked and then you can't do anything about it and then you concede. So let me ask you the other question. Let's talk about Chicharito first. Are we just Chicharito? Because that's what the league is going to say. That's what people are going to say. When Chicharito's not there, are we back to the old Galaxy of the last couple of years? Are we just Chicharito at this point?
I mean, I don't feel like we have enough of a sample size to make that statement. Chicharito played for us all last season and did jack shit. And he's played a handful of games for us this season and has proved to be a superstar. I feel like in the MLS, he's still very unproven yet. And I feel like for the league to go out and make that statement, or for the power rankings to say one thing, I feel like that's just, it's very hollow. Like, we don't have three seasons of Chicharito like we had three seasons of Ibra, and he knocked down each three of those seasons like money, like butter. But right now, I would say so. Right now, I would say so. In the long term, no.
I'm not ready to say that we are, but I do want to acknowledge that we have, thank you to Corner of the Galaxy for the we're stealing homework. But you know, we haven't, him and Josh and Baxter were saying that we haven't scored from outside of the 18 yet. So that has Chicharito written all over it. He is integral. I think he's pulled us through while we're waiting for these other guys to acclimate. But let's talk about these other guys, because it's time to be acclimated. I think it's time to take the kid gloves off a little bit. Let's start with Grancer. Grancer looks like a baller when he is comfortable and he's increasingly comfortable. Now you see him, his little flare moves that work. We'll talk about the other person later. You know, he's strong. He's small, but he's stout. He's quick. Not the fastest, but he's smart. He reminds me of Alessandrini, man. And that almost goal, this game we were watching just before we started the pod, you know, the cut in and the shot and the crossbar, that's my man's, like, sixth crossbar miss or near miss. Like, what do you think? What do you think about Grancer?
I mean, I feel like Grancer, we've harped on about this so many times about his potential, and it's very evident. Like, he has bags of talent, and he can find himself in dangerous positions, but at the moment, he just cannot buy himself a goal. You could put any price tag on it, he still couldn't buy himself a fucking goal. I think the crossbar hit was irritating in the sense where it's like, hey, I'm all for it if you're a struggling player and need confidence. Shoot. But in a game where there was already one previous disallowed goal, I think you just have to pick your head up and look at all three of the other options. You look at the other side of the 18, there was Cabral, there was Victor Vasquez, if I'm not mistaken, and I want to say Ryan was in there too. You had three potential options to put one away, and you go ahead and keep your head down and, in a very selfish manner, just strike the crossbar. If he would have picked his head up slightly, we could have found ourselves another goal. But
yeah, I agree. He did this the last game too, it's been so long in all these Gold Cup games. So we played Dallas, then it was 10 days, and then it was Vancouver. Yeah. So in the Dallas game, we were winning comfortably, right? He had Augustine Williams in the 18 in the Dallas game. He had Cabral on the other side, like you're saying. My man shot, and he missed, but I liked it that game. This game, it's frustrating. Like, you have to know when, right?
There's a time to play.
Yeah, and I'm worried about his decision making there and his judgment. I know, I get that he wants one really bad. Now let's talk about Cabral, man. You know, Victor Sir has been serving him a couple of games now. He tries to do the skill moves flashy thing, but it works less for him than for Granser. He's getting a lot of criticism. Actually, I think the criticism has died down a little bit, which worries me. It seems like we're moving into a place where people are expecting Cabral just to be shit in a waste of a DP spot. I don't think we're there yet. We skipped a step. It was like we were critical too early, and then like now people are starting to write him off. He got his goal, but he can't buy one either, man. What do you think?
Well, I mean, shit, he's bought one.
That's true.
So, I mean, I really like Cabral. I can't put it away. I like Cabral, and I feel like he has a lot more potential in my eyes when I watch him play than Granser. And I feel like in tandem, in maybe a year's time, this whole experiment will be worth it, and what we're talking about right now will be put in the past. But I don't know who he needs to train with. I don't know who he needs to talk to or what more he needs to see, but he should be at a point in his MLS career where, you know, he's seen consistent minutes. He needs to be producing by either setting others up or putting it in himself. And, you know,
he's not even really assisting either. He's just dry.
He's just sort of running. And I feel like it helps when we have Cheech involved, because I feel like maybe he's better acclimated with Cheech, but that front three, whatever discord or whatever problems they're having with putting the ball in between the net, maybe they need extra focus. Maybe they need more training. I don't know what to do, but Cabral needs to adapt his game sooner than later, and needs to start producing something. His runs are great. His dribbling is fantastic, but dribbling and making great runs necessarily doesn't buy you goals in the final third. And especially when you can't dish it out. So.
And he seems a little weak on the ball. Like, he's tall and pacey, and he's young, but he seems a little weak.
The Havertz build.
Yeah, he's got that Havertz FIFA build. But he, dude, I don't know. It's a little concerning. I don't think it's the case that he's here to be comfortable. Like, Greg is bringing these young guys, selling them on, like, you know, you're going to have eyeballs on you. They're hungry, I can tell. I don't want people to quit on him, and I definitely don't want the team around him to not trust him, and I'm starting to see that a little bit too. He's always just kind of like standing there in the space, and people are not necessarily dishing him the ball. But let's talk about the bright spot before we get to more bad stuff. Let's talk about Ryan Revolution. My man, what is it, two goals in three games?
Two and three.
Oh, man. Goal from center back, goal from the holding role. Dude, Victor Vasquez just dishing it to him on a dime. Mm-hmm. Big props to Victor Vasquez shutting up all the haters. He is old. He can't run. But you know what? Yeah, Ryan. So what's the difference between these guys? What's the difference between Ryan and the other two Frenchies?
Honestly, I mean, obviously, position wise, he's playing in positions where maybe he shouldn't have two and three. But
yeah, he's a holding midfielder, like a destroyer, and a center back.
It's really interesting because I watch him and I get very much like N'Golo vibes, where he's just everywhere and he doesn't stop running.
Yeah.
But he has an knack to find the goal, and he can get up on set pieces. He can put the ball in the net, unlike the other two wingers that we have playing out wide right now. But the difference is I feel like he's hungry and he wants to strive for more. But I also would attribute that to his Ligue 2 success.
Yeah, they were promoted.
He came off a championship win, and I feel like he's riding a very high wave of momentum right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a league where if you are physical and you are big, you benefit a lot. And him being that, I don't think there's anyone who can really stop him right now. If you were to put him up against any other midfielder in the league, I think he's very physically dominant.
He is a smart player. He's big, but I don't think he's like particularly huge. You know, we saw him burned a couple of times at center back, which is fine. He's not a center back. And he's not that pacey, but he knows where to be, and you can't teach it. And it's fantastic, and it's really exciting. So I think we should take a minute to appreciate Ryan and everything he's done in getting acclimated in the last couple of games and finding the goal. Whatever he's drinking, he better, like, rub some of that all around on the other team. Yerba. Hey, Ryan. We got you.
Ryan, buddy.
We got you, buddy. So, I don't know. We haven't brought up Zubac. I think he's having solid games. I'm not in that, like, we need a second striker who's not Zubac. He seems to be increasingly comfortable. Greg's got everything going. And that's why I don't want to freak out. I still trust Greg. You know, it's season one.
I don't think he should be questioned.
We are in fucking fourth place in the supporter shield. And not that that matters that much right now. But in the Western Conference, we're still sitting in third place on 24 points. You know, it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating to lose mm-hmm. to the bottom of the barrel in the Western Conference.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I mean, Colorado's right behind us. They've had our number. LAFC is now surging. And then we have Minnesota and Portland behind that. And tomorrow we're going to go play Salt Lake. But before we get there, let's talk about the defense a little bit. I got to see my project, finally. I got to see the Williams-Depew experiment. Was not impressed with the defense this game. I will attribute it to being rusty, but that equalizing goal comes directly from Williams poorly clearing a ball straight to the feet to a Vancouver player. Not great. And then the second goal they scored, Viafania, Depew, and Williams are all scrambling around in the middle of the box. And they're on ice skates and slipping
chickens
around.
Chickens with their heads cut off.
Dude, chickens with their heads cut off. It reminded me of, like, the defense of the last couple of years. And in my mind, I was like, where's Daniel Starris? And I hate that I thought that. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like it's with Williams, you're coming off a big suspension and a big, I wouldn't say a traumatizing incident, but it's a very unfortunate one. And it's soccer and things happen, but I feel like there was no way he was going to be fully caught up to speed and ready to jump into a match like this. I wouldn't have seen him start. I would have seen him maybe get some second half minutes or maybe some minutes, you know, have him come on in the 70th minute and have him get reintegrated and sort of caught up to speed. But off a cold start, man, we suffered, and it was very apparent that he was just a little bit lost.
Yeah.
Deputed well.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that chemistry back there. I'm still waiting for that chemistry on the back line. You know, last week I had said, sorry, I'm trying not to burp into the microphone. Excuse me. You know, last week I had said I'd love to see Williams and Depew again. I'd love to see Sega and Depew. Honestly, I kind of just want Williams and Sega back there and stick with it. And, like, try and fix this chemistry, man. But
you would boot Depew though?
At this point, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You would give the guy who hasn't played in five games the spot over Depew?
Oh, that's what you're asking. Like Williams automatically?
Yeah.
You're right, man. Okay, you talk me out. I'd like to see Depew and Sega. No, we've seen that. Yeah. They're great. Mm-hmm. So this is what I'd love to see. Williams and Sega. And then if that doesn't work, I still want to try Williams and Sega and see what we get. That's the only combination we haven't tried.
I think that's true.
And I think that's the intention, right? Like, I think that's where Greg's going. But, you know, Depew's making a case for himself. He hasn't had very many stinkers. I don't know. They both gave up a goal.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But hopefully, you know, we're hitting that midsummer stride here. Looking ahead to RSL now. RSL is a tricky team. There have been times where they've had our number. There's been probably more times that we've had theirs. There used to be a little bit of a rivalry there. I think they don't like us. We have that incident with Ibra, right, and the center back. They've had a little history lesson. They've had players that just absolutely wreck. It's always a physical game, right? They are sitting in eighth place at 16 points.
We're right behind Portland.
Yeah, right behind or tied with Portland, yeah. So these next two games, Salt Lake and Portland, you know, I had said, I think my prediction was beat Vancouver, beat Salt Lake, tie Portland, because we've talked about that. And we wouldn't want to ruin Roland's time in Southern California. Now that we've lost to Vancouver, I'm seeing these two games as must-wins. We need to win these games. There's no reason we should lose to the eighth place team or the seventh place team, both at 16 points.
Or even better, the 12th place team.
Right. I mean, yeah, we just,
which
but
we
that
just did
that
past weekend. So.
Yeah, that invalidates my argument. I'm looking at the stats here. It is concerning to me that Salt Lake has a +5 goal differential. They're putting the ball away. I really, really hope this is not a game where we are having to chase the game. They have very experienced players. They have Justin Merrim, like one of the goats of the league, on their team for many years. Mm-hmm. They have Rubio Rubin. They have Alan Rusnak. And they have Demir Krylak, both threats in the midfield. This is a dangerous team. We need to, like the set, they can't do that slippery ice skate shit in the back of this game, you know? And we definitely cannot miss our chances. And Greg has Cheech as questionable still. So if you ask me, I think that this is a statement game. I think if we're going to put it together, if the boys are going to hold it down while everyone else is at the Gold Cup, then this is the last stand. If they lose this game, I see them becoming very demoralized. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every game we've played this season has had to been a statement. We've had to prove ourselves as a team that could get ourselves over the line with a new system, and you have guys who had came in from a more than underwhelming previous season. I feel like we need to get the job done. I don't care where anybody plays. I don't care what the team looks like. We just need 11 people out there who are ready to get down and dirty with the Real Salt Lake team.
Agreed. So let's talk about that. The United States, let's talk about the missing people, right? Because so much of Greg's press conference was like, guys are missing, you know? And like, what can you say? You can't argue with that. You're missing Jonathan, who I'm excited to see next to Ryan. I think that'll be interesting.
I'm not.
No?
I'm not.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll come back to that. Jonathan and Ryan, because I think we'll come back to that. Okay, so Jonathan's missing. Mexico beating El Salvador. I think they topped their group. The United States beat Canada, and I can't say that word, but stupid Mark Anthony K. And we finished our group on top. So it looks like the boys are gone for at least another round. So reinforcements ain't coming. So they need to figure this out. We're missing Legette. We're missing Beepo. I mean, he hasn't been around, but that's another center back you can throw in there if you want to. You know, Jonathan and Ephra, as mentioned, they got to figure this out against Salt Lake. But that sounds like a good time for a Mike's Corner. How about that? Let me ring that bell for you. Why are you not excited to see Jonathan and Ryan together? Let me start. Ryan in a dedicated holding role. We haven't had that since Kitchen. Legette and Jonathan are back there, but they're like try to tandem, you know, and that works sometimes and other times it doesn't. But it looks like we have one locking down now, which seems to me that would free up Jonah to be a more advanced player up the pitch, a free floating or a box to box. So let me ask you this. Do you think it's free floating or box to box And why are you excited or not excited to see that?
I'm just not excited in whatever role he plays. He doesn't excel at doing anything well. He's not a good player on the front foot, and he sure well isn't a good player playing a pivot role or box to box. He can barely run for 70 minutes. What do you think he's going to do on both sides of the field? He'll play 40 at that.
Is this a this season? Like, we're not completely discrediting the work he's done in the past, right?
No.
This is just
not discrediting the work he's done in the past at all.
Just to be clear for everyone, this is an evaluation of what he has shown us as ADP this season.
Yes, this season. I'm very aware of Jonah's resume of work with us. I'm no stranger to JDS. But in the past season and a half, he's proved to not excel at anything. He'll show up for one goal, maybe three a season, and he's done after 60 minutes. It's always some sort of liability. He's always hurt. He always has some sort of problem. I don't want to pair Ryan up with him and allow for JDS to be feel to be complacent and be mediocre. Because what happens when JDS fucks up, they're going to point at Ryan because he's the new guy. And no one's going to fucking defend Ryan over Jonah.
Oh,
he fucks up. Interesting. They both go down together.
So you're seeing a changing of the guard here.
Changing of the guard because I feel like if you pair them together, Ryan's playing with shackles. He's playing with a liability.
Yeah.
And at that, Jonah won't even see the full game. And Lord forbid it fucks up even when Jonah gets off the pitch after his good 65 or 70 minutes that he will play again.
Okay. So what if it was a situation where so that's the grand question that we're waiting to be answered, right? Who sits and who starts? Ryan's not going to sit.
No.
So that leaves... I think
Vasquez. Play Legette Nefer.
Legette Nefer. Oh, interesting. Okay, so would you put... You'd put Legette in that center role again. See, mm-hmm. We're taking his position away again.
When he does it better than Jonah.
That's true. Really Legette. Okay. Legette and Efra. I'm also envisioning Jonah and Kleschen sharing minutes and Vasquez and Legette sharing Efra. The cam role.
Yeah.
And Efra. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excuse me, but Efra and Legette sometimes play on the wing too, so I guess they're more flexible. Yeah. But it's starting to become clear. I think that grand answer will happen when he comes back from the Gold Cup. He does have a goal in the Gold Cup so far, a pretty nice banger. We'll see.
No, it was a nice goal.
But he's a lot like Legette, you know. Jonah with the national team is a little bit different than than club. So we'll see. Damn, 30 minutes went quick. I'd like to close the episode talking about the lovely Ibra highlights this week. I think yesterday or today was a year ago since we beat LAFC, and Ibra got a hat trick, the one where he juked the defenders, where he put Blessing on his ass. It was amazing. I was scouting the Discords. If you are not part of the Galaxy Family Discord community, you should figure that out. If you can't find them on Instagram or Twitter, hit us up and we will point you to that. But they're having a great discussion there and in the Corner of the Galaxy Discord and in the Straight from the Stands Discord too. You know, everyone's talking about Ibra and this team today. Like, what would happen if Ibra was on this team? I think the defense is better. I think the coaching is better. I don't know if all of the problems would be fixed. And certainly the locker room stuff that has been full of tension would be back, and who knows, right? I think Greg is a good guy to manage that. I don't think Greg would have been particularly intimidated by Ibra. But it's an interesting question, right? Like, what does Ibra do with this team? And there was an interesting debate about, his antics. Like, a lot of people were like, I miss his ability to single-handedly win us a game. And then other people are like, yeah, but I don't miss the antics or the circus or whatever. The fact that we didn't have a team. Where do you come down on that?
Dude, I love the circus, man. I feel like it was so much fun. I mean, in recent years, I would probably have to go down and say that Ibra's been my most enjoyable player to watch. I don't have a really big sample size of – I had just missed out on Beckham.
Yeah.
And I had picked it up as soon as Ibra had decided to make his way down.
Picked it up, seriously. You've been around, but you're skipping over the Anolfo years. I remember you were quite opinionated about Anolfo.
Yeah.
I was wrong. That's another episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're saying it was bang average until Ibra showed up.
Yeah, I mean, because it was. It was really bad. I remember watching it, and, you know, I had my thoughts about Anolfo, and I was real pissed. I remember the deciding game where I was like, dude, fuck Anolfo. Was that game we had lost against Houston? I don't remember what the scoreline was, but I remember we got our shit kicked in by Houston, and I was like, bro, just throw the team away. Throw the whole team away. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I miss Ibra. I think it was great. And I don't think it would have been locker room, maybe for Legit, but you know, I don't want to blast our mate friend that way as he sips the mate again.
You gotta be like sweet.
Yeah. I think Greg would have. I think it still would have been Greg's culture regardless. And maybe Ibra wouldn't have been down for that too. We don't know, but it is an interesting thought experiment.
Interesting hypothetical for sure.
All right. Any final thoughts?
No, that should be it from me today.
Okay. All right. So let's do this. Let's cue that good old music. All right. Tell them where they can find us.
All right, guys. If you've listened this far into the podcast, you can come check us out on our socials on Instagram and Twitter at the G30 podcast. It's the G30 podcast. And if you'd like to check me out on my socials, you can come check me out on Twitter at CFCMichael. And that'll be it for me today.
Cool. And I am CountChalk786 on Twitter and available on YouTube and Instagram as well. Remember, if you're listening to this on audio, you can go back and see it live if you want to. Yeah. All right. We will catch you next time. Peace.